Amen, amen. Please have a seat. It's so great to see you this morning. Great to be in this place of worship. I hope that you're here to celebrate and be excited for all that God is doing in our lives as we gather here to give God our heartfelt praise and worship this morning. We want to especially thank our visitors for being here and encourage all of our members to greet them and welcome them, make them feel special and at home. And we hope that everyone here in this place gets to encounter God, feel God's presence, and when you leave here, you feel inspired to go and serve. We are so excited to be present, and if you would, as the attendance pads are passed to you, if you would be filling those out for us, we'd get a record of your attendance that helps us out on Monday mornings when we calculate all that great stuff. And I want to share with you a couple of announcements that we have. First, if you haven't heard about Hog on the Hill, you need to get in the loop. Hog on the Hill is this great event coming October 11th. There's going to be so much stuff to do, it's going to be hard to do everything. Okay? We have the pumpkin patch sale that's going to go on. We have the fall festival. We have a barbecue competition, a dessert baking competition. We have a silent auction. We have a band. It's going to be phenomenal. And I hope that you will make a point to be there. And if you can help contribute items to the silent auction, please do and contact the church office to bring those by. The second thing we want to highlight is that starting in mid-September, we're going to have our fall classes that will begin. And Reverend Mary will be teaching a class on the parables on Tuesday nights at 6. I will be teaching a class on world religions from a Christian perspective. That's also at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. And Craig Bowes is going to teach Financial Peace University on Wednesdays at 6. If you haven't done that, I really encourage you to. It's very enlightening, very helpful stuff, and really putting up together your financial resources and planning and all kinds of important issues to discuss there. And then finally, today at noon, the United Methodist Women's Summer Circle will be meeting. So all the ladies, whether you're members, visitors, whatever, you can show up at noon and have a meal. And they'll be putting together and raising different donations for 200,000 Reasons, which is the Arkansas Conference Ending Childhood Hunger Initiative. So those are the announcements we have. We hope if you need any more information, they're in your bulletin. With that, let us stand and greet one another in the joy of Christ.
All right. Put your hands up on this one. Forget those sorrows this morning.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame.
Oh, hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's blood, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, trusting His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ
Jesus. Jesus, amen.
All right, if all my friends will come forward. Good morning. How are y'all today? How was the first week? Well, today I want to talk about getting angry. When do we get angry?
When you get aggravated by someone?
When you're supposed to bring homework to school and your cat eats it.
Okay. When else?
When your cat eats your dog.
When your cat eats your dog. How about when somebody takes something from you? Maybe when your brother or your sister. Oh, yes, Lacey.
When a boy be mean to you.
When a boy be's mean to you. Okay. So there's a lot of times we get angry. Well, today we're going to do something different. We are going to learn how to not get mad, but get smart. And we're going to talk about some ways that we're going to learn how not to get angry. Because when we get angry, anger is not fun, is it? Because we do things we're not supposed to do, right? Like hit our brothers or our sisters, close the door. When I was young, when I got angry, I would up the stairs. So today we're going to talk about a few things. Okay, so the first one is ask for a timeout. When you think that you are going to get hot, you're hot-headed, you're mad, you're angry, you need to be responsible for asking your own timeout. That may be, wait a moment, I need to go somewhere and ask for a timeout. Got it? Okay, number two. Go somewhere to be alone. That means that if you need to go to your room, if your mom needs to go to her room, if she needs to go to the bathroom to get away from you, good suggestion. Go somewhere where you can be by yourself and kind of settle down. Okay, so you don't have to hit your brother or do something like that. Okay, third one, talk about it. When you get time that you think, okay, I'm ready, I've calmed down, you want to go back and you want to talk about it. It may be with your brother, or your sister, or your mom, or your dad, and you go, okay, let's work through this, and I want to talk about it. This is why I got angry. Okay, last one. Is make peace. And that is, you might want to decide, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make a card. I'm going to do something that is going to help me make peace with what happened. So I want you to think about this. We're starting a brand new school year. I know that y'all don't get angry at home, right? And they're all looking at their siblings. So remember, the next time that you get angry, you get hot-headed or mad, don't get mad, get, okay, let's try this again. Don't get mad, get, there you go. All right, who wants to pray for us? Dear God, thank you for today. Remind us to not get mad, but to get smart. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
We almost got angry with that, didn't we? But we didn't. We made peace. We're now into that time of prayer as a body. And so let us bow our heads before God as we go to God in prayer. God, we're so thankful for the rain. It's been hot for so long, and we've needed it so badly, and we thank you for nourishing the earth again, giving us cooler temperatures. We can feel much better. We're thankful for all those that working outside, that they didn't have to work in such high heat as normal. Lord, we come to you seeking your guidance and your wisdom as we live our lives, knowing that you are who can show us the way. Show us the way of peace, the way of truth, the way of love. Help us to live in to the love you give us. Help us to share it with those that we meet. Help us to have our eyes opened to look for the needs that are around us, the people that are going through difficult times, the people that are going through hardships, that have that pain. Help us to open our eyes and see the need that is around us so that we might go into action and help those that are struggling. We pray for your strength, pray for your endurance, that we can meet any task before us as we lean on your grace to lead us through. We pray for those that are suffering, hurting, hungry, thirsty, alone, sick. And we pray for their comfort and for us to share with them with what we can. And now, Lord, we come to you to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as you guys know, we've been talking about change for change, and we have change for change buckets in the back of the church, and any money that we collect through change for change goes directly to our shared ministries, which is always kind of a stretch goal for us. And you've also been hearing about Hog on the Hill, and that money also goes to shared ministries. Well, one of those ministries is Camp Aldersgate, and so I wanted to introduce you to Alex Roberts and Dave Roberts, and they're going to tell you a little bit more about Camp Aldersgate.
Thank you, Clark. How many of you know something about cerebral palsy? You ever heard of CP? Okay, for those of you who don't know, Alex has CP. She was born with it. It's a muscular issue so that her muscles and her brain aren't connected the same way ours are. So sometimes speech, because your tongue is a muscle, and movement and walking and all just don't work well. So you know, Alex has some challenges in her life. She's typical as a 14-year-old and loves music and hanging out with her friends and going to class and going to school and Sunday school. But imagine when you were 14 if you couldn't walk in the woods or climb a tree or swim through a pool. I mean, there's things that are kind of missing in her life. Well, that's where Camp Aldersgate comes in. We're so thankful to have that chance for her to go there. Now, she attends Camp Aldersgate on six times a year, respite camp, meaning we drop her off on a Friday evening and we pick her up on Sunday morning before church. And at those weekends, she gets to do everything you can imagine that a camp should do. And she also does a summer camp, too, a week long in the summertime. They zip line through the woods, like in a car seat, hoisted up, zip through the woods. She got to scuba dive this past summer. They fish. She caught a big catfish. They have a tradition there where you have to kiss the fish before you throw it back. They have photos of her kissing a catfish. And one of her favorite things is hanging out in the cabin with girls just like her, with counselors that are college age, high school volunteers. So Camp Aldersgate means a lot to us. And there's a reason that it's called respite care, because it gives the parents a weekend of respite as well. While she's off having fun, we get to take some time off. So you all as a Methodist church are blessed to have a mission like Camp Aldersgate. And so I'm here to tell you, please continue to support it because it's so important. Instead of putting coins in that, you should be stuffing $10 and $20 bills in it because it is a great mission. I'm fortunate enough to wear another hat, and that is I'm a director of a planning department engineering firm, and I got to do the master plan for Camp Baldur's Gate. So the 100-acre master plan, we showed them where new buildings would go over the next 20 years and how new programs could come in place. And they're already starting phase one construction, and it is on a new rec center. So similar to this room, it's a place where the kids can go if it's really hot outside, come in and play, or if it's raining, they can use the facility. It's air-conditioned and heated, and like I said, it's under construction now. The money came primarily from Donald W. Reynolds, and you've all seen the giving they give to college campuses. Well, they're done. That money is gone. There's no more Donald W. They got the last batch of that money. So 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how are they going to be able to implement the master plan? It's congregations like you all and others that give support to it. So I urge you to continue to support Camp Aldersgate for people like Alex, for families like us, for the respite, and for your church, because it's an amazing oasis right here in the middle of town. So thank you.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much, Alex. We are honored for you to share with us today. This is powerful. This is a life-changing ministry that you can support. So will you join me in prayer? Holy God, we give you thanks for Camp Aldersgate. We give you thanks for the work that you do through this life-altering ministry, giving kids hope, giving kids the resources to have fun, enjoy life, and meet friends. And we pray that we would step up and be generous. We would serve. And we would be following in the footsteps of Dave and Alex as we support children with disabilities. In Christ we pray. Amen.
I just wanted to also recognize Alex's mom, Diane, as well as Carrie Daniels, who is Director of Development at Camp Aldersgate, and her daughter, Ruth, are visiting with us today. And I'm
Thank
sure
you so much for being here.
Thank we you for being here
really
today.
Really appreciate. Blessed to have you. Would the ushers come forward and begin to receive the offering? Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Amen. The word that comes to mind for us today is blessed. We are truly blessed to be able to gather here, to hear a witness of wonderful ministries. We're blessed to be led in worship by a heartfelt praise team. And we're blessed to be able to serve a living God that gives us strength and love every time we need it. We now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Hear these words. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder." And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. It was hot. I was a teenager. My parents had gotten me up early on a Saturday morning to do a task that I didn't want to do and was aggravated to do, to go around the entire house and wash the windows. And there were many windows to wash. It was hot. And the process for washing these windows was that you had to attach this Windex bottle system to the end of a hose, and then you press a switch and it shoots soapy, Windexy water onto the window. And after you've lathered the window with soap, you then make a switch and it shoots regular water and it rinses it down. Then you pick up the Ouija. You press it at the top, you scrape it down. There was a major problem with this process, though. The end of the hose, the metal part that you attach, was slightly bent. So when I would screw it in and press the little switch, it would shoot water directly into my face. So then I would take it off and try it again, and it'd shoot it again into my face. This happened several times. And I did not react calmly. I threw it down and I marched off, very frustrated. It was hot. I was a moody teenager. My parents had gotten me up early on Saturday morning. The devil made me do it. There's a commonality between all these things. All of these are excuses for the way I acted, right? Because I could blame it on the heat of the day. On the heat of the day, we get a little bit more crazy, get more irritable, we get drained quicker. Maybe our fuse shortens. And illusions, like you've been in the desert before, right? And mirages appear, manipulating reality. None of these are excuses that will do. Because I screwed up. I got fed up. I was frustrated, and I did not react the way that I should have. I was disrespectful. Now think closely about this passage. You see, in this passage that Jesus is comparing killing someone with being angry. Jesus saying they deserve the exact same punishment. Almost like they're doing the same thing. Now this metaphor may confuse us. It made me hard to fathom this comparison. But think for a second what happens when you get angry at someone. You get frustrated, fed up, when you blow. You don't want to be around the person that made you angry. You want to almost cut them off. You want some space. All this negative attention is sent to them, and maybe you reacted in a way that was harmful or painful. Maybe even killed them metaphorically, or you're done with them. You've written them off. But Jesus wants to avoid that, because in this passage, Jesus' main concern, I believe, is division. When the body of Christ is divided, we don't do well. We don't grow the kingdom as well. If I'm mad at Dusty, or if I'm angry at Nick, that separates us, doesn't it? Creates anxiety and tension. Our emotions are built up, and it stresses the relationship to the point of breaking, and maybe it breaks entirely. And that's not what Christ wants. He wants us united. Because when the body of Christ is together, working with the grace of God, we can do incredible things like the ministry of Camp Aldersgate, right? We can do powerful things in the name of Christ. So it doesn't help when we blame others for our mistakes or our anger. It doesn't help when we blame it on silly things like the heat or that the devil made me do it. We have to be accountable for our actions, right? Yes, that's the correct answer. As brothers and sisters, it starts with a big puzzle. How many of you love to put big puzzles together? Some of us love that. Some of us despise that. I'm one of those people. Because you have to be very talented to put together a 4,000, 5,000 puzzle together. Something like that. Now think. When you put a puzzle together, you have to have patience, right? Sometimes you have to walk away, come back later, start again. If you're staring at the pieces too long, maybe they become blurry. The colors and images start kind of merging together. And almost the best way to do puzzles is as a group. So you can work collectively to put the pieces together. Christ wants us to be united. But what we have to do first is we have to confess. Confession is an integral part to the Christian life. You'll notice that every time that we do Holy Communion, we have a time where we confess. We confess what we've done wrong as a body of Christ and individually. And confession starts with understanding where I went wrong, where you went wrong, the self. Where did I screw up? Where did I fail? and recognizing that. Because if you're not honest, and if you're blaming other people or the environment, then you're just walking through life blind. You have to be able to examine yourself and say, I screwed up. And then you transition into confession to God. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that thing to that person. I'm sorry I got angry or frustrated at John or Michael or Lucy. That leads us to a word that has been stolen and used negatively, but it's a word that is important for Christianity, and that's repentance. How many of you love to hear the word repent? It just fills you with joy, right? No. It's been used to condemn, to talk up sin. But really, repentance lies within your heart and God. You have to be able to repent from yourself. It's not about other people. It's about turning away and starting anew and seeking God's guidance and help. And what happens when we receive God's forgiveness is we feel that we've been forgiven by God. We receive this motivation and inspiration to do better, to live better, to love more, which leads us to a very difficult task of soul work, confessing to others. Because when you confess to someone else that you've done wrong, it opens yourself up to be vulnerable. You have to be. Because when you say, I've done wrong, I'm sorry, the other person can say, I don't care. The other person can say, so what? The other person may not even think that you did something wrong, but it's eating you up. No one likes the feeling of guilt. When guilt overtakes your mind, it takes control, doesn't it? Until you get it out, can you feel better? Confession is one thing, but at the heart of this passage is Jesus' urge to be reconciled. Reconciliation is the toughest thing to do in the Christian life. Reconciliation is different from forgiveness. Forgiveness means someone's done something wrong, someone was offended. You come together, say, I'm sorry, okay, and you can move on to different places. You don't even have to see that person anymore. Reconciliation is about a new relationship with that person. Holy, thriving, living. Think about resurrection out of death. A broken relationship brought back together and made anew that is thriving. That is difficult work. And I'll be honest, it doesn't always happen. And it's not ever guaranteed that reconciliation can ever happen between people. But we should still try. It should still be our goal if we've burned a bridge or hurt someone to seek that. Because that's what Christ wants. But for example, think about an abusive relationship between a husband and a wife. And the husband wants to reconcile with his wife after the abuse. Reconciliation may not happen because there's no guarantee that there won't be hurt and pain right after. You understand what I'm saying? certain situations are so painful and hurtful that they may not even be able to be healed until Christ comes again. That's how painful those situations can be. But we know that the grace of God can work through amazing individuals. Sometimes we hear about stories about parents of someone who was murdered. And the murderer is on death row. And the parents and the murderer reconcile and create this new amazing friendship. Or sometimes we've heard of these amazing stories of Holocaust survivors reconciling with people who brutalized them. Resurrection out of death. How will you be connected to the puzzle? Because the puzzle that's created forms a beautiful image, an image of God. Each puzzle piece is an image of God that depicts you and your unique image of God. And when all those pieces come together, it's transcendent. It's absolutely breathtaking. And that is one of the greatest goals of the Christian life, for us all to be connected in love, peace, unity. Now the question lies is, will you try? Will you think back to someone that you had harsh words with or someone you hurt? Will you seek to reconcile with them? Maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe it's been eating you up for so long. Will you take that leap of faith that Christ has been urging for you to reconcile and be made whole? Let us pray. God, we seek your Holy Spirit to be present with us as we do the hard, hard soul work of reconciliation. Help fill us with your peace and strength to seek to do our best to be reconciled with those that we've hurt. We give you thanks for the many ways in which you bless us and share your love and grace. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. And I invite you to stand up as we will sing our closing song. And if there are those that would like to come forward to pray at our prayer rail, join our church, or reaffirm your faith, we welcome you forward at this time.
Please sing this song with us. It's one of our favorites. The words are so powerful. Don't sing it to us, and don't sing it to each other. Sing it to God.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed.
Amen. Please receive this blessing. Go forth knowing that you are loved, and Christ calls you to share love with all that you meet. And may you be inspired to spread it. May it catch like wildfire. And may you be filled with peace. In Christ we pray. Amen.